Sophie was not much given to crying, but she sat in the chair for quite a while, staring at a blurred and sliding fire demon, and did not pay much attention to the sounds of Michael getting up, until she found him standing beside her, looking embarrassed and a little exasperated. "You're still here," he said. "Is something the matter?" Sophie sniffed. "I'm old," she began. But it was just as the witch had said, and the fire demon had guessed. Michael said cheerfully, "Well, it comes to us all in time. Would you like some breakfast?" Sophie discovered she was a very hale old woman indeed. After only bread and cheese at lunchtime yesterday, she was ravenous. "Yes," she said, and when Michael went to the closet in the wall, she sprang up and peered over his shoulder to see what there was to eat. "I'm afraid there's only bread and cheese," Michael said rather stiffly. "But there's a whole basket of eggs in there," Sophie said. "And isn't that bacon? What about a hot drink as well? Where's your kettle?" "There isn't one," Michael said. "Hal's the only one who can cook." "I can cook," said Sophie. "Unhook that frying pan and I'll show you." She reached for the large black pan hanging on the closet wall, in spite of Michael trying to prevent her. "You don't understand," Michael said. "It's Calcifer, the fire demon. He won't bend down his head to be cooked on for anyone but Howl." Sophie turned and looked at the fire demon. He flickered back at her wickedly. "I refuse to be exploited," he said. "You mean," Sophie said to Michael, "that you have to do without even a hot drink unless Howl's here?" Michael gave an embarrassed nod. "Then you're the one that's being exploited," said Sophie. "Give that here." She wrenched the pan from Michael's resisting fingers, plonked the bacon into it, popped a handy wooden spoon into the egg basket, and marched with the lot to the fireplace. "Now, Calcifer," she said, "let's have no more nonsense. Bend down your head."
"You can't make me," crackled the fire demon.
"Oh, yes, I can," Sophie crackled back with the ferocity that had often stopped both her sisters in mid-fight. "If you don't, I shall pour water on you, or I shall pick up the tongs and take away both your logs," she added, as she got herself creakingly onto her knees by the hearth. "There," she whispered, "or I can go back on our bargain, or tell Howl about it, can't I?"
"Oh, curses," Calcifer spat. "Why did you let her in here, Michael?"
Sulkily, he bent his blue face forward until all that could be seen of him was a ring of curly green flames dancing on the logs. "Thank you," Sophie said, and slapped the heavy pan onto the green ring to make sure Calcifer did not suddenly rise up again.
"I hope your bacon burns,"
Calcifer said, muffled under the pan. Sophie slapped slices of bacon into the pan. It was good and hot. The bacon sizzled, and she had to wrap her skirt round her hand to hold the handle. The door opened, but she did not notice because of the sizzling.
"Don't be silly," she told Calcifer, "and hold still because I want to break in the eggs."
"Oh, hello, Howl," Michael said helplessly. Sophie turned round at that. Rather hurriedly. She stared. The tall young fellow in a flamboyant blue and silver suit who had just come in stopped in the act of leaning a guitar in the corner. He brushed the fair hair from his rather curious glass-green eyes and stared back. His long, angular face was perplexed.
"Who on earth are you?" said Howl. "Where have I seen you before?"
"I am a total stranger," Sophie lied firmly. After all, Howl had only met her long enough to call her a mouse before, so it was almost true. She ought to have been thanking her stars for the lucky escape she'd had then, she supposed, but in fact, her main thought was, good gracious, Wizard Howl is only a child in his 20s, for all his wickedness. It made such a difference to be old, she thought, as she turned the bacon over in the pan, and she would have died rather than let this overdressed boy know she was the girl he had pitied on May Day. Hearts and souls did not enter into it. Howell was not going to know.
"She says her name's Sophie," Michael said. "She came last night."
"How did she make Calcifer bend down?" said Howell.
"She bullied me,"
Calcifer said in a piteous, muffled voice from under the sizzling pan. "Not many people can do that," Howell said thoughtfully. He propped his guitar in the corner and came over to the hearth. The smell of hyacinths mixed with the smell of bacon as he shoved Sophie firmly aside. "Calcifer doesn't like anyone but me to cook on him," he said, kneeling down and wrapping one trailing sleeve round his hand to hold the pan. "Pass me 2 more slices of bacon and 6 eggs, please, and tell me why you've come here." Sophie stared at the blue jewel hanging from Howell's ear and passed him egg after egg.
"Why I came, young man," she said. It was obvious after what she'd seen at the castle. "I came because I'm your new cleaning lady, of course."
"Are you indeed?" Howell said, cracking the eggs one-handed and tossing the shells among the logs, where Calcifer seemed to be eating them with a lot of snarling and gobbling. "Who says you are?"
"I do," said Sophie, and she added piously, "I can clean the dirt from this place, even if I can't clean you from your wickedness, young man."
"How's not wicked?" Michael said.
"Yes, I am," Howell contradicted him. "You forget just how wicked I'm being at the moment, Michael."
He jerked his chin at Sophie.
"If you're so anxious to be of use, my good woman, find some knives and forks and clear the bench."
There were tall stools under the workbench. Michael was pulling them out to sit on and pushing aside all the things on top of it to make room for some knives and forks he had taken from a drawer in the side of it. Sophie went to help him. She had not expected Howell to welcome her, of course, but he had not even so far agreed to let her stay beyond breakfast. Since Michael did not seem to need help, Sophie shuffled over to her stick and put it slowly and showily in the broom cupboard. When that did not seem to attract Howell's attention, she said,
"You can take me on for a month's trial if you like."
Wizard Howell said nothing but, "Plates, please, Michael," and stood up, holding the smoking pan. Calcifer sprang up with a roar of relief and blazed high in the chimney. Sophie made another attempt to pin the wizard down.
"If I'm going to be cleaning here for the next month," she said, "I'd like to know where the rest of the castle is. I can only find this one room and the bathroom."
To her surprise, both Michael and the wizard roared with laughter. It was not until they had almost finished breakfast that Sophie discovered what had made them laugh. Howell was not only hard to pin down. He seemed to dislike answering any questions at all. Sophie gave up asking him and asked Michael instead.
"Tell her," said Howell. "It will stop her pestering."
"There isn't any more of the castle," Michael said, "except what you've seen. And 2 bedrooms upstairs."
"What?"
Sophie exclaimed. Howell and Michael laughed again.
"Howell and Calcifer invented the castle," Michael explained, "and Calcifer keeps it going. The inside of it is really just Howell's old house in Porthaven, which is the only real part."
"But Porthaven's miles down near the sea," Sophie said. "I call that too bad. What do you mean by having this great ugly castle rushing about the hills and frightening everyone in Market Chipping to death?"
Howell shrugged. "What an outspoken old woman you are. I've reached that stage in my career when I need to impress everyone with my power and wickedness. I can't have the king thinking well of me, and last year I offended someone very powerful, and I need to keep out of their way."
It seemed a funny way to avoid someone, But Sophie supposed wizards had different standards from ordinary people, and she shortly discovered that the castle had other peculiarities. They had finished eating, and Michael was piling the plates in the slimy sink beside the bench, when there came a loud, hollow knocking at the door. Calcifer blazed up, "Kingsbury door!" Howl, who was on his way to the bathroom, went to the door instead. There was a square wooden knob above the door set into the lintel, with a dab of paint on each of its four sides. At that moment there was a green blob on the side that was at the bottom, but Howl turned the knob round so that it had a red blob downward before he opened the door. Outside stood a personage wearing a stiff white wig and a wide hat on top of that. He was clothed in scarlet and purple and gold, and he held up a little staff decorated with ribbons like an infant maypole. He bowed. Scents of cloves and orange blossom blew into the room.
"His Majesty the King presents his compliments and sends payment for 2,000 pair of seven-league boots," this person said.
Behind him, Sophie had glimpses of a coach waiting in a street full of sumptuous houses, covered with painted carvings, and towers, and spires, and domes beyond that, of a splendour she had barely before imagined. She was sorry it took so little time for the person at the door to hand over a long, silken, chinking purse, and for Howl to take the purse, bow back, and shut the door. Howl turned the square knob back so that the green blob was downward again, and stowed the long purse in his pocket. Sophie saw Michael's eyes follow the purse in an urgent, worried way. Howl went straight to the bathroom then, calling out,
"I need hot water in here, Calcifer,"
and was gone for a long, long time. Sophie could not restrain her curiosity. "Whoever was that at the door?" she asked Michael. "Or do I mean wherever?" "That door gives on Kingsbury," Michael said, "where the king lives. I think that man was the Chancellor's clerk. And," he added worriedly to Calcifer, "I do wish he hadn't given Howl all that money." "Is Howl going to let me stay here?" Sophie asked. "If he is, you'll never pin him down," Michael answered. "He hates being pinned down to anything."